my source sheet.
So here's a new source sheet?
Okay. No, this was the second page.
Oh.
Right? We're up to the bias question. Right, so the third question we said we have to deal with, and hopefully we'll do it in one shot, because I'd really like to do it in one shot, is the question of bias. Now, maybe a good way of introducing the issue of bias, because we're going to see that halakhically, most poskim assume that, look, assuming you're a posek, you can really poskim for yourself, and usually we don't have to worry about the question of bias. That doesn't mean, as I think I've mentioned before, it's always a good idea to assume you don't have bias. The Rambam in Perush Mishnayos on Aseh L'Charav has this fascinating comment where he says that you should make yourself a Rav even if your Rav knows less than you. And there is this notion that sometimes it's not that you need someone who knows more than you. Sometimes, no matter how qualified you are, you need someone outside of yourself. Right? I think we all are aware of this. The question is, formally, are you forbidden from poskening for yourself due to bias? Obviously, sometimes it's a bad idea. Right? Sometimes it's good to get an outside opinion. Now, the difference, I think, would be the following. Is if you think that the reason you're getting an outside opinion is just because, you know, it's a good idea. And there's Yuri. I think the... Yuri, come, run. Okay. Then I think, if you think it's just a good idea, then the issue could be solved, let's say, with a friend, as the Rambam notes. But it's not necessarily about someone who knows more than you. Right? Meaning, if we poskined, you aren't allowed to poskin for yourself because of bias, then you would have to go to someone who is qualified as a posek. Right? I presume... When the Rambam talks about it, what? Well, because then you can't really doing the poskening, right? Theoretically, if you think it's not formal, right? Meaning, theoretically, if, as we'll see, most poskim are going to say it's not really a formal problem. You are allowed to poskim for yourself. But you yourself are worried that maybe you're being biased, so you could go to your Rav and ask him to poskim for you, but to accomplish that issue, you could also go to a friend and say, look, this is what I'm thinking, right? Someone who's similar knowledge as you, not necessarily someone who's poskening for you, just like, look, this is what I think the sugya does. Am I like missing something? Am I fooling myself?
Right? No, it seems like from the Rambam, maybe it is a formal problem that it doesn't matter which Rav you pick, you just got to pick someone.
The question is what exactly he means that, but the point is,
yeah.
Right, from that, I think you see just that sometimes, obviously, it's good to have a outside opinion. But let's see the formal sugya here, okay? So it starts in number 18. The Gemara tells the following story. It's at Yalta. I used to dumb all the kamei the rabba barbrachana vitamila. So Yalta brought blood, meaning dam, right? She brought a questionable need of blood to Rabba Rachana, and he declared it impure. Then she brought it to Rav Yitzchak, the son of Yehuda, Vidachila, and he declared it tahor. So the Gemara asked, so this is something I think we've talked about. Maybe we'll talk about at a different point. How could she do that? You're not normally. How could you do that? Once one Rav had said it's Aser, the other one can't say it's Mutter. Mutter Aser Chulei, right? Correct, right? So he said that's the Gemara's question. How could you do that? So the Gemara says, "Meikaret muya v'mitami la came and darmalei dechal yom v'matki la ki agavna v'idno dechash bein edachi la." Said it's a little bit of a different case. It was a case where she knew this color is basically always tar. Every time she asks a shaila, she gets the same answer. And today, for some reason, he said usher. So she said, "You know, this is the color that I showed you. I'm pretty sure this is the color you showed me. I showed you a few days ago, or a few weeks ago, last time, whatever. And it was fine." He said, "You know, my eyes are hurting me a little bit. Let me look a little bit more closely." So he changed his mind. Fine. No, sorry, he's looking at the second Rav. Second Rav. She said, second Rav, you know, he always says it's fine, right? And then it was, he has an eye infection today. He's not seeing clearly. But, so you have this story where Yalta brings from one Rav to the other one. But the question that the Rishonim want to deal with here is not the question of how could one Rav... I mean, that's one sugya. But for our purposes, the question of bias is, well, why didn't she ask her husband, who was also a posek, who was Rav Nachman, right? Why didn't she just ask Rav Nachman, right? So if you want to skip from 1 to 24, right, we've moved on to bias, and we just made the point that we are dealing first with the formal question of whether you can poskim for yourself to bias. There is the notion that sometimes it's not a good idea.
English.
What?
English bias.
Bias. Like, are you biased? Are you too biased to Poskim for yourself? But we noted that according to the he was running your house.
I thought he was saying that at the beginning.
Yeah, no. We noted that sometimes it's just a good idea, but the question is, formally, do you need outside advice? So we see this, that Yalta used to bring Damnida to someone who wasn't her husband. So Tos was asked, you skip from 1 to 24, so he said, Mash Mashalaita Regila Laharos Lav Nachman Ba'ala. This sounds like she didn't ask Rav Nachman. So Tosa's implicit question is, does this mean that you're not allowed to ask your husband? Now, obviously, the reason is because, even though technically it's her Shaila, we understand that this is your Shaila, right? The husband is the one who is biased here, right? Just as much as the wife, they want to be back together, right? I think you all understand this. I don't have to explain this to you. Sounds like, yes, I totally get that. Understood. Good. Baruch Hashem, I'm glad you understand. So he says, look, there was one guy in my share last year, I might not have gotten it, but look, he denied it every time we talked about this. No, people don't have any attraction to anybody. Okay, fine.
Really?
Whatever.
Is that what he said?
No, not quite, but he didn't understand the possibility of taifa. It just didn't have any sort. But anyways, Vishema Loya Bucky.
It's like, what are you talking about? You just pray to God and he gives you a baby. Like our teacher.
Okay, good. So anyways, so Tosu says, so first possible is Shema Lohi Abaki. He said maybe he just wasn't an expert in Damni, in right? Maros is a different skill set than normal Dami Dechamen, right? You have to, it's not book knowledge, right? You have to sit there and look at reds. This red, that red. Nowadays we are talking all reds, but like originally it was only certain reds. You had to sit there. This red, that red. You know, that's what the Chayadim says. You don't, right? Realistically, people do shimush more, a little bit for figuring out like red from brown, and more for like where do you look, how do you look, in what lighting, things like that. But Rosh Hashanah really does pass me with make red, then you don't need. Okay, fine. Guys. You can go to your room. You can go to your apartment. It's fine. Yeah. Okay, guys. We gotta try to do this quickly. He said, "I, Rav Nachman, in fact, sometimes does paskin davnida." So he says, "Inami aiza choshesh Hashem vayamachmer latmeli is libo nokvo parshul yismach chachmasa." He said two possibilities: either she was doing it for his sake, meaning she wasn't worried he was going to be makil. She was worried he was going to be machmir, right? Meaning, sometimes the reason you get an outside opinion is not because you can't possibly yourself, you're worried you're going to give it to a kula, it's because... Right? And this is definitely true, right? I know this from myself, right? Ora and I get... people drop off maros at our house all the time, right? And often, Chaim's like, whatever, deal with it.
People drop off maros at your house?
Yes.
You're like David Amela. You're Yoishe.
Oh, yeah, Yes,
exactly. But like, if it's my, you know, if it's relevant to us, often we'll give it to an outsider, because like, you know, not always, but like if it's questionable.
You know whose it is, Norman?
I don't know. Or it does.
Is it like the, it's like an anti-bias that you're going to be like overcompensating?
Correct, you're going to overcompensate. Right, look, they tell the story about Reb Chaim, that when Reb Chaim had a shayla, sometimes he would go to Reb Simchel Zisol, who was the posek of Brisk, and he would say, listen, I want you to poskin for me, and I don't want you to tell me why. Could you tell me why? I'm going to start clearing, I'll start this, I'm going to see the problem, I'm going to see the other side. Just give me an answer. Zeo. Right, yeah. No, we don't poskin all blood, Tommy. Is that we just don't distinguish between reds. Meaning, according to... there are different reds, you know? Maroon, burgundy, scarlet, I don't know. So brown, according to most poskim, is mutter. Some poskim are machmir. The difference between red and brown. Sometimes things are... black is tame. Sometimes it's hidden. The question is, right, is it... right, black, because black is the color of congealed blood. Right? Congealed blood becomes black. Right? Like, you ever have a scab?
Yeah.
Anyways. Okay. He says, Ina, Mishul, it's kind of fun of. She said, alternatively, she didn't want her husband to be disgusted. Right? Guys, she said, alternatively, she just didn't want him to be disgusted. Like, you know, it's like, if he's thinking about it, it's like, okay, I don't want to think about it. Right? Tell me when you're Tahara. Whatever. Fine. But Tosa said, but it's not true that you're not allowed to paskin for yourself. You are. Where does he get that from? So now go back to number 19, to Mesechet Negoim, to Mishnah. Kol ha-negoim adam ro'eh chutz minigei atzmo. The Mishnah says you aren't allowed to see your own negoim, your own sarat.
Like paskin your own sarat?
Correct. Remeir omer af lo negei krovav. Kol ha-nedorim adamatim chutz minigei atzmo. Yud omer af lo nidre ishto. Sheveino levein acherim kol b'chor amroa. The Mishnah outlines three cases that you can't paskin for yourself and maybe not for your family. Sarat, Nidarim, and Bechorot. Each which has their reason. And the way that Tosos understands this is, why does the Mishnah have to tell you that?
It's only these.
Because it's only these. They have their own reasons. Bechor, because we assume that people are particularly biased. Right? Kalanim, we were always worried that they were putting Mum in Bechor, because otherwise you have to wait, you have to eat in the Beit, you have to eat in Yerushalayim, if it has Mum, you can check it wherever. Right? Nidarim has certain unique properties. Right there, you're not really posking for yourself. You're actually acting as the Bezdin. Right? It's a bit of a different case. Right? Same with Negaim. Right, you're not. It's not that you're poskening. Right? It's that you have. Right, it's not just that you're clarifying. Right, you have the status. Right, with negayim, until the kohen says it, it's not tameh. Right, so there is a certain different level there. But Tosafot says what you see from here is that there's unique cases where you can posken for yourself. But the rule is you can posken for yourself.
I'm assuming that when it's talking about the surah.
Yeah, kohen obviously. No one else can posken on surah. But you, that's what I'm saying. It's a formal status. That's why if someone's in Sheva Brachos, we just wait till after Sheva Brachos to show it, because until the coin says something, they're not tummy. They're not just clarifying, you're creating. Right? So that's unique. You look at the Tosefta. Tosefta in Negoim says, "La'olam ena kohen rashay l'tamei ad shiyu einav bo vor abasar shchutzala o de maskira o potra nolad bo nega acher eze niskak lo v'mish is gira nolad lo nega acher niskak lo l'tumbo l'tara ela al sof shavua halach nigo afil achar shal sham arayu b'tumaso ad shiyomar lo kohen tar. Right? All these things in the game, it hangs on the Kohen actually saying something, right? Who neman a Kohen lomar negas a pasha negas and lo pasha and beheres kadma as a seyar v'mzer lavan kadma as a beheres v'neman who al negay atzmo. But he is neman, right? In the Tosefta, they don't even buy this. In the Tosefta, you are at least neman al negay atzmo. So even that is called into question in the Tosefta. Obviously, Kohen. If you're not a Kohen, it's irrelevant. Okay. Now the Gemara in Bechorot says, "Tan Rabban and Kol Bechor Adam Roa Mishal Atzmo V'Roa Es Kadosh Es Ma'is Rosav V'Nishal Alta Rosav." So Amar Mar Kol Bechor Adam Roa Chutz Mishal Atzmo B'Ma'yaskinan. What are we talking about? So Mar says, "Inleim Bechad Mi Mehemen." It is a single person he believed. Ela B'Tlasa. It's where there's a Bezdin. So Mar says, "Micha Shide, why aren't you Neman if you are part of a Bezdin?" V'Atnan Mina Shachol B'Fanav Yisaen V'Neishu Bezdin. The Mishnah has a case as follows: if you are part of a Bezdin to be mater a woman in a Mion case or a Chalitza case, you can remarry her because we assume that you're not biased, because even if you were biased, if you have to be part of a Bezdin and the other two people signed off on it, it must be your right anyways, right? So the Gemara says, the reason there was a problem here was because there are certain cases you can judge as Yachin Mumche, so really you're by yourself. But in all these, the way Tosfos understands it at least, is that these are unique. Right? They're unique halachos by Bechor, by Neder, whatever it is, but really you're allowed to paskin for yourself. And that's supported by the Gemara in number 22, where in the context of the knife of a shechita knife, Amarava Tzurban Rabban Chazi Le'afshei. Right, we have explicit statements in other halachos that a Talmud Chacham is allowed to see it for himself. He's allowed to paskin for himself. So like I said, Tosos is a way of viewing this that there are certain creative statuses, right, where you're not just clarifying, you're not just poskening, you are creating, you can't do it for yourself. But Derech Klal, the rule is the Gemara in Erevin. You can posken for yourself, no problem.
Wait, wasn't his first answer that he couldn't, what's the name?
No. His first answer was he wasn't an expert. His second answer was you could answer, but she didn't want him to be machmir. It's not that he wasn't allowed to be machmir. She could have, but obviously Galta didn't want. So they're not going to say no. We can't be together for 3 weeks, right? Like, might be done 3 weeks. How do you get to three? There's no such shita. I don't know. I'm just machmir, right? Like, she didn't just want that to happen, right? It was Galta saying, "I don't want I know my husband, right? He's a frumacher, right? The other position that was the Rosh. Right, the Rosh, who's the Rosh?
Shimon.
Of? Really not Shimshon, but of? Sen. Rosh Mishatz. Right, so he wrote a Perush on, he's one of the big three Balei HaTosfot, right? Most important of the Balei HaTosfot. He writes a running commentary in Mishnah, and therefore he's one of the only Rishonim that we have on Taro, Zroim, right? Kadshim, Rexid writes on the Mishnah. So he says as follows. So first he quotes all the suyas that we saw. If you look after the ellipsis, he says, V'shem yesh l'chalek, ben heichad is chazik isura, le'echad lo is chazik isura. So he, right, so again, Tosfos says you're always allowed to pass them for yourself, with the exception of these few cases. The Rosh says, no, it's not true. You're not allowed to pass them for yourself in all circumstances. Here's the distinction. He says, what is the common denominator between Nida, where you could read the Gemara that you're not allowed to pasken for yourself, and Bechor, and Sarat, right? What is the common denominator of all of those that's not true of the Shechita knife? Right? Right? Here's the evidence we have. The Gemara and the Shechita knife, you're definitely allowed to pasken for yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Bechor, you're definitely not allowed to. Nida, right? Bechor, right? Bechor, and Tzara'at, right, those are the three in the Mishnah. Right, to say that it had a mum, yeah, that you can now shecht on it.
Okay,
right? That you can now shecht not in Yerushalayim.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Those you're not allowed to pasken for yourself. And Nida, so, no,
Nida,
I don't know.
It's definitely Dirdarik pleasure, what do you mean?
No, for sure. No, and Nida, you could read it either way. Right? I mean, Nida, Tosfos got out of it, but you could just read it as the reason she didn't show the Rav Nachman is because he's not allowed to pasken for himself.
Right.
So the Rosh says there's a difference as follows. Is chazik yisura lo is chazik yisura? What does this chazik yisura mean?
Chazaka for isra.
Yes, meaning, has the isra been established and you're removing it? Or are you trying to figure out whether something's asr? Mm. So b'chor, at the moment, it is asr to shecht at Azad Yerushalayim. You have to remove that isra status from it. The shechita knife, the presumption is that it's mutter. It's only if you look at the knife and it turns out there's a nick,
right,
that it's going to be puzzle,
uh-huh,
right? But the presumption is that it's mutter,
right?
So he says, if it's a chazik isur, you have to remove a presumption of isur. So there, we're worried about bias, because the presumption is it's usur, and you really have to take quite a step to permit it. But if the presumption is it's mutter, we're not worried about your bias, like, you know, the presumption is mutter. You're going in assuming it's mutter, right? If you see an isur, you see an isur, but it's not like, right? It's not like halachically grounded that this is usur and you have to remove that status. It's neutral, and you're clarifying. So that's the Rosh understands, and that's basically the two perspectives. So what about Nida? So here's the question, right? Nida depends when, right? So the way the poskim will discuss it, as some poskim anyways, will say it depends. So, okay, brief summary of Hilchos Nida, right? A woman who comes to Nida, right? Then, what happens? So then, right, so Nida arises, she waits 7 days. Nida abundant, she has to wait 7 days. Kiyim, what? Wait, no. Nida arises, you have to wait 7 days, but not Nikiyim. All you need is at the end, you need? No, you need to have Sektara. Right, you need? No, you don't need a clean day, Nida. You need to have Sektara. You need to make sure the blood is stopped after 7 days. For Zava, you need 7 clean days.
Right.
Because of Chomei Derizera, we are Machmir, right? Meaning Zava, meaning non-normal, right?
Yeah, like the sickness.
Yeah, exactly. So there, you need 7
like
Nikiyim. What?
Like a Zava, like
wait. No, it's just an abnormal.
Oh, okay. We're even Machmir for a mustard size.
Mustard size, but not mustard. I mean, you don't think mustard color, but we don't. So, now, realistically, though, when you're talking nowadays, so what do you have? You have, or you wait either 4 or 5 days because of Paletet Shechlet Zera, Sephardi versus Ashkenazi. Then you're allowed to start counting clean days, but first you need to have Sektara. So as we'll see, many of the poskim say, well, it depends. Maybe a husband can't poskin on the Hef Sektara. Why? Because she's a Cheskas Roa. Until now, she's been seeing blood, and now you're trying to establish her as having stopped seeing blood. So there, maybe, if you poskin like the Rosh, a husband can't poskin for his wife. But once you've had the Hef Sektara, now the presumption is she's not seeing blood, and then any potential stain she sees that you're looking at, you're now, it's not to create Isser, it's to,
right? No, it is.
Right? It's create Isser, meaning the presumption is that she's not seeing, she's just waiting now, clean days.
Uh-huh.
right? For you to see something would be to say the presumption that things are okay, we're breaking it. Right? So the poskim, who poskim like the Rash, will say, oh, husband can poskim for his wife during regular nida days, but not on the Hefsek Tara, which is that moment at which we decide the blood has stopped, and the presumption now shifts from yes, it's a problem, to no, it's not a problem. Right? Again, she's not mutter yet. But the presumption is the blood is not problematic.
Right?
Right? Because there's a presumption that there's no blood. Right? That's what the Hefsek Tara does. It says she's now stopped bleeding. Anything we see now, the presumption that it's not blood. If it is blood, it is. But or the presumption that it's not. So this is the machlokas that you get in poskim. Okay. So in 25, you find that the minhag in some places was that shochtim were not allowed to shecht for them or check for themselves. The reason for this, now this is not halacha, because clearly you are allowed to see it. The reason was because of shochtim who developed as a profession, and we were worried, whenever money's involved, we're a bit more worried. So the minhag became that we have an outsider do it. But again, fundamentally, you don't have to.
But now we pay that guy also.
Right? What?
Now we pay that guy also.
In a chanami. And the Taz notes this. He says, L'chein nohagu, right? Shulchan Aruch only says the minhag is to not have someone check his knife for himself, but clearly, midina shochiru dek la'atzmo. But you're allowed to. But he says, V'kashem imas nisen. What about the Mishnah that says you're not allowed to see your Bechor, right, the Bechor, etc., etc.?
No,
doesn't that show you're not...
Mishnah for knives, that is fine.
Yes, it's a Gemara. And he says... Zev, look what he says. He says, "Ukvar hikshe shama rash me arbei dvarim shamatina trumer rabban chazin lafshe." Said, "Well, isn't that what the Gemara says?
Right?
Right? How do you deal with it?"
No, but it said the opposite in the Gemara.
No, by the knife. No, they said the rash already raised the stira. How can I say you can't paskin for yourself? I know that you can. Right?
Okay.
And he's quoting the Rash.
Yeah.
And then everyone, what does he say? Umasik sham the davke is chazik yisur lo chazik nafshe. Right? He paskins like the Rash. He says it depends. Was it his chazik yisura? Lo is chazik yisura. Then kein achanami b'shlocha b'dika shaber nishcha hutra. What? Is chazik yisura means isura has been established. Now I need to remove isura. Lo is chazik yisura is I'm at a neutral state. I'm just asking a question. Is it azur or mutter? I have no presumption either way.
Nida is chazik yisura.
No. So the way the poskim take it is that nida is chazik yisura before the hefsek tara, because before the hefsek tara, the presumption is still seeing blood. Once she had it, now the presumption is that she's counting her clean days. Whatever she sees is not problematic. So the Taz quotes the Rash, and he says, "V'zeh mitur esnami mashemodik la'atzmon chem shenikro hutra v'lo schazik yisura." He said that's why you're allowed to check the shechita knife, because the shechita already happened. The presumption of shechita is that it's good. Now you're looking at the knife. Okay, might mess it up, but the presumption was that it was okay. And he says maybe not. He says, now he says, he said, but wait a second. Maybe I'll tell you, you shouldn't be Neman on Shechita. Why? Because before you shechted it, it was alive and it was Ibrahim and Achai. Right? I mean, take it a step back. So he says, nah. He says, we have a chazaka that counteracts that chazaka, which we have a rove that counteracts that chazaka, which most people who shecht are doing know what they're doing. Right? Meaning, the presumption of halacha is that a shechita goes well. Right? So, yes, there's a chazaka that the animal is usser, but that's counteracted by the fact that most people who shecht, it's fine. So we're back at neutral state, presumption of heter, and therefore you're allowed to check the afterwards. Okay. And he says the exact same thing in 26 on the halacha of Ein Chacham Ro Bechor La'atzma, right? The Taz says the exact same thing. Now, why is it that we are worried? Right? What exactly are we worried about? What type of bias?
In which...
Right. If you think we're worried about bias, so what are we worried about? Right. If you paskin, right, what exactly is the bias that we're worried is going to happen?
Your type of changing the psalm.
In what way?
No,
not heter isra. Meaning, what is going to cause you to make the mistake?
You're gonna.
I want to just make this clear, right? The Tiferes Yisrael says this. It's not that we're worried that you're going to actively
do
Isser. He says, the worry, Chashin Damar Bididami Vitoa. We're just worried that you're not going to realize.
Right.
You're going to.
Like you see the possibility.
Right, meaning you see the possibility, you're like, I think that's Mutter. Meaning you're going to make a mistake. Not like. When the people who talk about bias, we don't mean you're biased and like you're going to actively paskin the wrong way. It's that we're worried, if we're worried, we're worried that you'll make a mistake, right? You're subconsciously or unconsciously, whatever, unconsciously, you'll be swayed. Now, that's the taz. However, in general, what's the rule in Yeridea? If it's a machlok, it's shach and taz. What do we paskin like 90% of the time?
Shach.
And the shach paskins le kula like Tosfos in 29. Right? They kasuv at Tosfos. So berkol yad the yachal erav to me yishto. And he says it's fine.
Why? I don't understand why we're not afraid of it. Because it's whole.
Now, remember, I said this. I made this very clear at the beginning. Again, what I want to deal with here is formally, are we worried? Not, is it a good idea? If you know, right?
You're going to be biased, and obviously.
Now, by the way, remember, Tosus's point is very important. Tosus says, you're allowed to paskin for yourself, but it's not a good idea to paskin for yourself if you think you're going to be overly machmir.
Right,
that's also important, right? Remember, paskin for yourself isn't just about, right? Avoiding paskin for yourself when you feel like you might be too makil is also, it's also problematic to the opposite.
Right.
Now, the Chachmas Adam in 30 writes that he thinks that a husband can answer his wife's nida shailas, but you know what he can't do? He can't paskin on her tvila shailas. Why? Because? Because now you're asking, she has a cheska, she was a nida. Now you're paskining on whether she removed the status of nida. He paskin like it does. He says, the paskin on the tvila shaila, I think, is usher. Right? Exactly, and that's what he clarifies in 31, and he quotes the Rash, right? And the Taz.
Is that not enough?
No.
But on by Tzvila, it is a problem. Again, that's the Machmir Shita. Right. Now, why is it... Now, if you want to explain why is Bechor unique, so I already talked about it a little bit, but the Shulchan Aruch Rav just clarifies the reason is that... I'll say it outside. Bechor, right, the halacha is that if it doesn't have a mum, you have to bring it to Yerushalayim, and Bezman HaZeh, you can't do anything with it, right, until it gets a mum, because there's nowhere to take it. Once it has a mum, you're allowed to eat it. Once it has a mum, you're allowed to eat it.
Right.
Exactly. So there's a very heavy taiva for a Kohen, because that would just hang her. Correct. And therefore...
Well, if you did, what would be the problem?
So if you did that, we paskin, you can't eat it, right? It's only if it won't happen. If you're responsible, we don't let you do it.
Well, for someone else?
This is a very complicated sugya. It seems like it's Knas, yeah.
But Shulchan Aruch for someone else?
It's a very good conversation. It's a little bit complicated. It's not us for someone else, but it depends on the exact context, because there are certain cases where it might spill over.
If I cooked a piece of meat on
very complicated. Complicated, don't want to get into it. Complicated. If my cloak is with Eger, Taz, don't want to get into it. I understand. Okay, guys.
I was thinking up or not for some reason.
Okay, guys. Okay. Now the Shulchan Aruch Rav just clarifies that the reason by Bechor that we're so makbid is because of all these chashot, Chazal instituted that a posek needs special rishus. Right? It's one of the three smichas that the Gemara offers. Right? Yore, yadin, and yater bacharos. Right? It was like a totally different category where you need special. Yeah, that's the third one that the Gemara talks about, the heter rishus that you need. So he said, once you see that it's like this unique one, so I understand it's unique.
No Rav Umanhig in the Gemara?
What?
No Rav Umanhig in the Gemara?
No, these are the three. Zero.
Rav Umanhig is the lowest level speaker.
Good. So now.
Wait, is that what the rabbi had?
No!
1 second. Okay, guys.
I'm sure.
Now, Ravadia summarizes La Halacha. Ravadia summarizes La Halacha that it is. La Halacha we paskin le heter. But at the end, he quotes the Chazon Ish, who says, why is this true? Right? Because this bothers Yaakov. Yaakov wants to paskin like, again, there are many poskim who do paskin this way, the majority not this way, but Yaakov likes the Taz. Why aren't we worried? So he quotes in the Chazon Ish, the Kundrazal and Yoni Emunah Bitachon, Shagazav Shein Azar Zizar Shochad Miklamish Batim and the Chal Chukim. He said, you know what? In the end of the day, bribery is a chok. Shocking, right? Because he says, look, said, you know what? Apparently, the worry of Shochad is not, I find this very hard to believe, right? It's not a mishpat. It doesn't make sense. Because if we were really worried about bias, we'd be worried about this. Now that, I think, only exacerbates the problem. But despite this, he says, we are Mekel. And that basically is, in a nutshell, the way it comes out. That Rov Poskim are Mekel. The Poskim or Machmir only Pasker in cases of Ischazeg Yisura. That, again, that doesn't mean it's a good idea. Both for the reason the Rambam says, right? Sometimes you want an outside opinion. And the reason Tosus brings up that sometimes it's not just about Kula. You might be more Machmir. And getting an outside opinion will make sure that you keep only the Ikra Halacha and don't do something that you don't have to do. That is part of the
sugya. You need to do that you didn't.
Or whatever. Now, we have a few minutes left. Okay. 34 to 41 is a slightly different aspect of this question. But I feel if we don't do this now, like, Sukkot is already, like, upon us. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. It's a fast day. Yeah, let's try to get through this quickly. So let's tell this story. Okay? The Gemara says as follows in Yevamos. Okay, basically the Gemara tells the following story. There was a machlokes in the Beis Medrash about whether you are allowed to marry a ger within three generations from Ammon and Moab if it's a female geras. Right, we know.
Four, I thought it was four.
Within three, the first three. Right, so the way we paskin is that the issur of marrying a ger from Ammon and Moab is only for male gerim, but female gerim are mutter.
Why?
Immediately. Because of Xeris Akazuv, Ammoni velo Ammonit, Moavi velo Moavi. So the Gemara tells this story that there was a machlokas in the Beis Medrash about this, like in the time of David Amelech, right? Because David is obviously the descendant of a first generation Gioret. Right.
Right.
Rus from Moab.
Oh my God, she brought this on. And then Boaz Paskin.
Good, exactly. Right. There was the big fight.
Paskin, and he made his gezer, and it became a chetz of Torah Shmo Peis.
There you go. Exactly. So in the middle of that discussion, the Gemara says. So in the middle of that, three lines in, the Gemara says, "Umi mehemen, was he believed to say this halacha?" The Amar Biyama Marav called Amar Chalcham Shemora Lech Uva Imkoda Maisa Amra Shomin Lo Vim Lav. If you say a halacha, not a specific psak, you issue a halacha psak, like a theoretical psak. So if it's before it becomes relevant for you, we believe you. But if you come up with a new psak only after it's relevant for you, we don't listen to you. So the Gemara says, "Shaini yacha dashmul veizdino kayam." He says, "No. In this case, Shmuel was alive with his bezdin. So, yes, Shmuel Navi. We're talking about the time of David, and therefore, if David had tried to pull something, Shmuel would just come and say, right? He was quoting Shmuel. He said, 'I heard this from Shmuel, but Shmuel was alive,' right? So, if he lied about it, then Shmuel would come and clarify, and therefore, but normally we are in fact worried about this. So, what does this mean? So Rashi says, "Shabasar Eliyahu Amra Rishonel Tamid Beis Medrash B'Shem Rabo Shomel Rishasar Rav Im Lavin Shomelo Shema Machmas Ma'isava Liyado Amra." Rashi limits this and he says it's not that once the Shaila is relevant to you, you can't paskin. What it means is, if you're going to quote a Misora from your Rebbe that no one has heard before, and suddenly you pull that out of your back pocket for the first time when you need that psak, then everybody else can't rely on that sock, because that's a bit sketchy. Correct, because then you can go back. It's not a general rule. It's not that you can't come up with alumdus and explain yourself. People can paskin, but like, if you say, I think it's mutter for X, Y, and Z reasons, fine. But if you're quoting Masora, and you only pull that Masora that no one has access to at the last minute when it's relevant to you, that's questionable. So this is a very limited halacha according to Rashi. Right? This doesn't mean that you aren't allowed to introduce halachic positions that are relevant to you. The Meiri, if you look at 37, says that kol talmid chacham shomer halacha uva. Ratzalomer shomer davar chidush b'shem ravozevim kodem ma'isa amra shomer lo v'im omra shas ma'isa in shomer lo the avo b'shem oge b'davar mitzad atzma. The Meiri says this doesn't even have to do with bias. This has to do with simply you can't pull out a misora magically out of nowhere.
That benefits you.
No, he says even if it's not about you, avo b'shem oge
b'davar.
Right, he's saying this isn't about bias. This is just a rule. Right, you can't pull out secret misoros when it's convenient. Right, we just feel like something is weird is going on.
Wait, so is that like every time in the Gemara that like someone pulls a random thing, we're assuming it's first that they're
quoting with a lot? So, and it has to be while it's theoretical. And he's saying when it's theoretical, if it like it came up now, it's a bit now that's a bit of a chiddush because why not? Maybe I only quoted it now because now it's relevant.
What about also Gemaras are like Socratic? They're not like actual live things. Right?
Now the Ritva in 38 says that recall hani mili amar migamara avok shomer misvaro maybe right rav lolam shomer lovese pashut right the Ritva as I already was medayik and Rashi says again this is only by Masora. Right, if you bring a lumdus, this is not relevant. You're allowed to bring a lumdus, right? Because then people can argue with it. The only thing you can't do is say, I have a misora, because now no one can question you. That's what we're worried about, right? Is someone pulling out something that's unquestionable, right? If you bring a svara, you can bring a svara when it happens, and someone argues, they argue. They don't argue, they don't argue. And if you look at Shulchan Aruch, this is brought la halacha. Again, there's more to do here, but just to summarize, if you look at Shulchan Aruch in the Ramah, sorry, the Ramah in 39, he says, V'tamun chacham sh'amar d'var halacha, v'davar ha-shaykh l'didei, this is how Tosfos understands it, im amra kodem maitz shomen lo, v'im lav ein shomen lo. Right? If you quote a halacha from your Rebbe that's relevant to you, you can't pull it out only when it's relevant to you. But again, the Ramah says, V'davka sh'amar kach kibalti. This is only a very specific case where you get it from Misora, v'al omar d'var misvara umar apanim l'dvarav v'unira shomen lo. But if you argue that it's true and it makes sense, it works.
So I don't understand this, because what? So if you have a shiloh that comes up and all of a sudden you're like, oh, my Rebbe said this and it applies to this case, you're not allowed to... What's the shot in that? I don't understand.
So the way Ramah says is only if it's shayach to you and it's Masora. Those are the two things, right? That's how it's Nifsak
Ramah. Okay, so somehow the first time this case comes up that my Rebbe said it, and my Rebbe gave me
so this. The interesting thing here is what it sounds like. Now, the last thing the Taz says is that it might also not work if you just raise a svara without makaros. Right? That's the other thing we might not listen to you. Right? It's just your chush. We might not listen to you. Now, so a very complicated issue that I don't want to get into, which I'll just open it, but is... It sounds like in this sugya that the isser is only for other people. Right? Meaning that it never says you're not allowed to rely on your own psak. You have a misora, you think it's mutter, you can do it. Right?
Oh, this is for other people.
Right? So that's why I think that this is not so relevant to our discussion. I think what this is saying is, look, there are certain limitations on when, right, things look too weird that we just as a klal can't accept this.
So then what's this whole idea about a shmua from your rav?
Correct, meaning ain shomen lo. No, meaning ain shomen lo is that we don't like accept it. So I don't know. Right, we have to think about
what does
it.
That mean?
Like we don't take it to establish policy. Right? Right, remember that's the context of the Gemara, right? You're trying to establish policy. Right? Whether the guy in private can pass on himself is a very complicated sugya, which maybe we'll do a different time, right? There is a very complicated sugya in halacha, which is what if I'm convinced something's mutter, But other people, for whatever reason, don't think it's mutter, and legitimately don't think it's mutter, right? But I really think it's mutter, right? Am I allowed to follow my psak? Here it sounds much more like we aren't allowed to establish halacha that way. Whether you, right?
I understand, but I'm saying this thing about hearing something from your rov in a case when it applies to you.
Right, so Ein Shomen Lo.
I don't understand what that means. So if my rov gave me a psak 10 years ago that never applied to me until now, I'm not allowed to listen to it?
No. Ein Shomen Lo is they don't listen to you.
Who?
The people, right?
But it's a case that we're talking about. This applies to you. So what is it talking about other people? I don't understand.
No, meaning, but so now you introduce it and say, hey, I heard this, and now people say, hey, I heard that psak from him. Now we establish policy.
Oh,
right. I mean, that's the case.
But you're allowed to follow it yourself.
So that's what I'm saying. It's not clear to me that in this case you aren't allowed to follow it yourself because you know it's true. Just that everybody else can't know that it's true because it looks too weird, right?
But
you pull out a kula when it's relevant to you. If it's what do you mean? Because then we're worried about bias. Right? You pull a swara.
Why would we be more worried about bias for some other people to establish this policy?
No, I mean, because you're one relying it for yourself, and from what you say is mutter, and you are now going to take advantage of for us to establish policy for everyone.
But then why would we allow it for himself in the first place?
So I'm not sure whether we would. I'm saying, look, either we might allow it to him in private, or we won't allow it simply because we don't want it to then become policy, and we're not convinced enough to establish this policy, right? Those are the ways we could go here, right? But fundamentally, I think this is, right, less relevant to our discussion. But like I said, the simplest shot in terms of the regular bias thing, not introducing halacha and establishing halacha, in terms of simply allowing a poskim for yourself based on bias, the answer is, rov poskim say, yes. Some poskim say, only if it's not as chazak yisura. What? But
he said poskim.
Poskim, okay, fine. Some poskim. Okay. But as I said, just because you can do it doesn't mean it's always a good idea. If you know that you see that you're biased or you're worried about it, don't do it. Yeah, right? As Tosfos said, if you're worried, do more machmir. It's not necessarily a good idea. But on a fundamental level, right, the majority of poskim seem to say that yes, right, if you are qualified, or the last 2 weeks of what we've seen, right, you know enough, you're smart enough, all those things, right, then in fact, once you are poskim, you're allowed to poskim even for yourself, pretty much in all circumstances, with the exceptions of those outlined in the Mishnah.
Are we going to address, let's say, when nobody is qualified to be a poskim and you pick the best person in the room?
We talked about that last week, right? That certain.
That's the shot. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, we talked about it. Yeah.